This is Chapel for January 24th, 1963. Dr. Clifton J. Allen is our speaker.
Draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will draw nigh unto thee. The Lord is nigh unto all them that seek him in truth. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let us all pray. O Lord of all the earth, O God of all the nations, O Father of one and all, we come to thee today to praise thy name. And we do pray that all that we do and say here may bring glory to thee. We thank thee for thy creation, for its beauty, for its grandeur, for its majesty, for its power. We thank thee in that thou canst speak to us in the brilliance of the sunshine, in the howling of the wind, in the warmth of midday, in the cold of night. We thank thee that thou dost speak to us in the song of the bird, in the beauty of the flower, in the glory of a Christian life, and most of all in thy Son Christ Jesus, who gives meaning to life and light in our darkness and direction in our wanderings. We praise thee for him, for this unspeakable gift whom thou hast sent into the world. We thank thee for his presence with us here. And we pray that thou wilt help us to go forth from this place as those who endeavor to walk in his footsteps. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for this school of Christian learning, for all who study here, for all who endeavor by the power of thy Spirit to be prepared of thee, to be of service to thy people. We thank thee, O Lord, for the people that pray for us, that give to thee for us. We thank thee, O Lord, for all that they mean to us, and we pray that thou wilt help us to mean more to them. Wilt thou help us to be good stewards, and wilt thou make us good stewards of all that we are and have. And wilt thou help us so to fulfill thy purpose for this school, and for each one of our lives, that we may be used of thee to be a blessing to each and every person whom we meet. We thank thee for him who comes to speak to us. We are grateful for his ministry, for his leadership, and we pray that thou wilt give him many more years of happy Christian service in thy kingdom. O thou great physician, wilt thou heal those of our number who are sick today, our president, our friends in other places of service. Wilt thou be particularly with him who has received news of the passing of his mother. Wilt thou comfort and strengthen all who sorrow this day. And wilt thou bless the tie that binds us here in Christian love, as we share together our joys, our sorrows, our new discoveries, and our reclamations of old truths. Lead us on, we pray, and help us to be more worthy of thy manifold blessings. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I count it a very real privilege to bring to you again today one of Southern Baptist's finest Christian statesmen, Dr. C.J. Allen, editorial secretary of the Sunday School Board, who in this position has borne well the responsibility of guiding our people along the ways of Christian education. Dr. Allen is a man of deep Christian conviction, a man who is looking for truth wherever it may be found, a man who has led our people courageously, just as far forward as they will allow themselves to be led, and as far as the Christian spirit, as revealed in the incarnate Son, will permit. We're grateful for his Christian statesmanship and for his willingness to come to share with us the meditations of his own heart. Thank you, Dr. Allen, for coming.
Thank you, Dr. Whalen. I always come to this place with joy and leave with a fresh sense of mission and motivation. There is a word in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." There are many ways in which we may characterize the times in which we live and the people of our generation. We live in the midst of change, so much change that sometimes we feel there may be no enduring values. Life becomes increasingly dull for many people because it seems that nothing really matters. We face the threatening burdens and tensions of a population explosion. We face the bewildering confusion of an information explosion. We face the indescribable destruction of a nuclear explosion. We live in a world in which evil seems to spread like a plague, in which men seem to become more satanic and perverse, and in which the idea of righteousness and goodness is laughed to scorn. From one standpoint, it is not a happy world in which we live. There are many panaceas and many approaches and many viewpoints about the problems of our world. All too glibly, I think, sometimes we speak of our supreme need, of the one way to solve the problems confronting us. And I have no certain word to bring about the one prescription needed, or the most desperate need we face. I've used these remarks as a background to suggest something of the imperative need for faith in our time. And as a means for exploring this need and thinking about it for a little while, I should like to remind you of two words from the very heart of the Christian gospel. These words are, "I believe." And I remind you again of the words from the letter to the Hebrews. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." But let me stress the fact to begin with that these two words, "I believe," are not a psychological gimmick for self-deception, and they are not a device to escape from complexity and uncertainty, and they are not a means to evade reality, and they certainly are not the mark of a superior piety. In fact, these two words are never complete in and of themselves. We cannot say, "I believe," and stop. We must always say, "I believe God." I believe in God. I believe about God. I believe because of God. And supremely, as Christians we say, I believe God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God revealed in Jesus Christ. I believe God mediated through Jesus Christ. I believe God brought near and made real by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I believe God because of who He is, because of what He has done, because of what He is doing, and because of what He yet will do. I believe God. I believe Him for salvation. I believe Him for security. I believe Him for service. I believe Him for hope and righteousness. I believe Him for justice and freedom and peace. I believe God. It is not enough to say, I believe. There must always be an object for belief. And that object to be adequate must be none other than the infinite person, God Himself. I believe God because God became incarnate in Jesus Christ. I believe God because He was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. I believe God because, having made purification for sin, He ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high, where in omnipotence and righteousness and love, He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. It follows, therefore, if there is reality in the affirmation, I believe God, that we can say, I believe in the kingdom of God. I believe in the gospel of God. I believe in the word of God. I believe in the church of God. I believe in the promises of God. I believe in the purpose of God. I believe in the power of God. We can believe, even in a world like this, in spite of evil, in spite of all the opposition we face, we can believe in God, and therefore we can believe that nothing in time or eternity, in space or in experience, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And now that we may explore the meaning of this affirmation a bit further, let me ask you to think of some implications in such an affirmation of faith. I believe God. This affirmation of faith calls attention to the need for knowledge. All that has been said about this affirmation has implied the need for knowledge of God, the kind of person He is, the nature of His purpose, the kind of work in which He's engaged, all that He has in store for humanity and for the universe. Faith is not opposed to knowledge. It is never a substitute for knowledge. It is meant rather to be the means of enriching faith. Knowledge is meant to be the means of enriching faith and the means sometimes of correcting faith and always the means for giving content and meaning to faith. And therefore, we are not to think of faith as opposite to knowledge or knowledge as opposite to faith or faith over against reason. We are rather to see the demands which faith make for knowledge. Let us understand, of course, that the knowledge supremely needed is the knowledge contained in the Holy Scriptures and the knowledge made available to us in the Incarnation, through the Incarnation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But having said this, let us not overlook the need for other knowledge. All kinds of truth, all the knowledge there is in harmony with truth. And I think of the need for the knowledge, for knowledge in the field of science, and knowledge in the field of history, and knowledge in the field of literature, and knowledge in the field of anthropology, and knowledge in the field of psychology, and knowledge in the field of philosophy. All the knowledge there is in harmony with truth is essential in connection with our affirmation, I believe God. For whatever knowledge may be found can add meaning and richness and significance to our faith. If there were time to comment, of course, it would be appropriate to relate that to our present activity in the process of theological education. I believe. And this affirmation of faith confronts us with a demand for commitment. The very word in the New Testament context and connotation emphasizes this demand for commitment. We will remember that Abraham believed God, and he obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. We will remember that Moses believed God and therefore chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt. We will remember that Jesus Christ believed in God and laid down his life for the redemption of the world. We will remember that Paul the Apostle believed God and poured out the energies of his being for the furtherance of the gospel. If we let the New Testament teach us and guide us, we shall see all too plainly that faith demands commitment. To believe in Christ means to accept the yoke of his lordship and live in obedience to his will and for the service of his kingdom. To believe in grace means to accept the obligation to walk in righteousness. To believe in the cross means to live by the way of the cross. To believe in the kingdom of God means to accept the obligation to live by the principles of the kingdom of God. To believe in the church demands that we love the church and be willing to give ourselves for the church. For the quality of our faith will always determine the measure of our commitment. And let me suggest again that I believe God as an affirmation of faith captures the utmost potential for response to the reality of God in Christ. There is something creative about faith. There is something wondrously invigorating about faith. There is something tremendously elevating about faith. There is something thrillingly sustaining about faith. For faith brings the renewal of hope and the kindling of purpose. Love is generated by faith, and service is motivated by faith, and worship comes alive with a sense of reality, with adoration, with thanksgiving, and with self-giving because of faith. In a world like ours, we can declare, I believe God. We can stand before the fact of God in Jesus Christ, before the fact of the incarnation and crucifixion and resurrection and ascension of Christ. We can stand in the face of the fact of the ever-present Spirit of Christ. And standing thus, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of evil, in the midst of complexity, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of everything, we can stand and say, I believe God. And therefore I believe in the power of the gospel of God. I believe in the worth of man. I believe in the reality of redemption. I believe in the redemption of the world. I believe in the power of the resurrection. I believe in the future. I believe in the coming of the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, for whom we have been created and by whom we live, Thou who hast come near to us in Jesus Christ, Thou who hast chosen to abide with us through Thy Spirit and in Thy Spirit, we worship and adore Thee. We claim Thee as our God and declare ourselves to be Thy people. We acknowledge our stewardship, we confess our guilt and our unworthiness and claim Thy mercy and Thy grace. We rejoice in Thy salvation. We claim the promised inheritance of Thy kingdom. We look out upon the world in which we live and face the responsibilities of our discipleship and commit ourselves afresh to Thee, because we believe that Thou art, and that Thou art a rewarder and a sustainer, a keeper and a defender of those who diligently seek Thee and those who trust in Thee. We yield ourselves afresh to Thy purposes in Jesus Christ, for the redemption of the world and for the glory of the Lord, because we pray in His name.